Hello, and welcome to GoGo Radio, found exclusively on GoGo.com. My name is Mary Gable, and in this show, we are going to discuss addition-based redefinition, part three of a three-part series. To learn more about me and my background, be sure to check out my GoGo profile. If you have any questions you'd like to ask me, please use our question and comment box below. All right, let's get started. Part one and part two basically gave us an overview of addition-based redefinition. And in this part, we're going to cover the last couple topics, additioning views and triggers. So first of all, tables are not additionable, and therefore we can't take advantage of additions to redefine their structure. But instead, we can cover our tables with what we call an additioning view. And at the same time, we can replace all the references to those tables with references to the views. So that gives us the ability to build sort of a transparent layer between our application and our database. Now, an additioning view is a regular view with a few special characteristics. Number one, it's intended to select and to optionally provide an alias for a column in for a subset of columns in a table. So does not support join subqueries, set operators, aggregations, hierarchical queries. An additioning view does support DML triggers. As a result, the trigger that you would usually specify would be specified at the view level. And those triggers will fire only when the operations target the view. So they would not fire when you perform DML operations against the target table. Also, an additioning view does not support instead of triggers. Now, when you create an additioning view, you're going to add the keyword additioning to your create view command. So for example, you might say, create additioning view persons as select employee ID, first name, last name, as employee number, first name, last name, from persons tab. During an upgrade, these additioning views could be set in read-only or read-write mode. You can set it in read-only mode to make sure that you don't have any changes occurring during your upgrade. Now, when you cannot use read-only mode, you have access to something that we call a cross-addition trigger that you can create. Now, a cross-addition trigger is used when you basically have two conditions. First of all, the structure of your table has to be redefined during the upgrade. And second, the additioning view that covers the table to be redefined cannot be set in read-only mode. So it will need to be set in read-write mode. So let's say that we have an application that needs access to an entire table that contains a column that has an email address. And we actually want to split that column into two separate columns, one with the username and the other that stores the domain name from that email address. So we can alter our table and add the two additional columns. And the data that's stored in those columns, we basically have to finish the redefinition. First, the data that we modified by the application during the upgrade has to be stored in our new structure. Second, the data that's already stored there has to be converted to the new structure with the new columns. Now, for the first requirement, you can create what we call a forward cross-addition trigger. And this can be created in the new addition. And the purpose of your trigger will be to transform a row from the old addition into the new addition. So if we added additional columns, then we would want to take those columns in our forward cross-addition trigger. And in this case, we would want to use substring to pull them apart and to set the two new columns equal to those two pieces. Now, this cross-addition trigger is created in the new addition and fires only when the DML statement is executed by a session using that addition. So when you create your trigger, you must specify that by saying forward cross addition as part of your command. You also need to make sure that you create your trigger in the disabled state, and that's going to keep your any invalid trigger from affecting the availability of your application. Next, we have to apply the transformation to the data that's already stored. To do this, there's several different ways. We will actually use the DBMS SQL package. You could also fire a trigger for every row that's already stored in the table and use the parse function in the DBMS SQL package. Next, you would need to, once your trigger is enabled, you would want to wait for all the transactions on the redefined table to either be committed or rolled back. We actually have a new function called wait on pending DML. That function is in the DBMS utility package. And you can basically make a call to that new function. So again, we've illustrated how we can propagate changes applied to an application that's working in an old edition to the data structures that we are now using in a new edition. Now you might want to think about what's going to happen if both the old and the new edition are used concurrently. Maybe when you have a hot rollover to the new edition. Okay. That requires that we write another kind of trigger that we call our reverse cross-addition trigger. The purpose of this trigger is to do the opposite of the forward cross-addition trigger. In other words, it is intended to transform a row from the new structure to the old one. So in our case, we have a column that we are using substring to pull apart. And of course, this reverse cross-addition trigger would take those individual columns that we created and concatenate them back together again. Now, your reverse cross-addition trigger fires only when a DML statement is executed by a session that's using the addition where the trigger was created or a descendant of it. And when you create your reverse cross-addition trigger, you're going to include the reverse cross-addition clause. Now, dropping additions. Let's assume that we have moved forward, we've made our change, and we now have everyone pointing to the new addition. To drop an addition, you use the drop addition statement. In order to execute it, you have to have the drop any addition system privilege. You also can drop an addition only if it is not the latest addition or the default addition. Also, you can't drop it if it's currently in use, or if it's the root or the leaf of a hierarchy. If it is the root or the leaf of a hierarchy, you can include the cascade option to drop the addition and everything in it. Now, if the addition is the root, then the child addition must not inherit objects from the root. So all inherited objects must be redefined by the child addition. Now, dropping that addition is optional. Instead of dropping an addition, you might choose to just revoke privileges on that addition. I hope you've enjoyed today's presentation. If you have any questions or comments, please use the question and comment box that you find located here on GoGo. If you're interested in viewing my other shows, just search the GoGo Radio Archive for Mary Gable. If there's a show you would like for me to do, you can let me know by using the question and comment box. Thanks so much for your time today, and remember to tune in to the GoGo Radio, found exclusively on gogo.com.